Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!"
welcome to the Sound Doctrine Broadcast with Dr. Ventura. I want to welcome the listening audience from around the world. We appreciate you tuning in this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to minister to you tonight. We have a special program available for you this evening. This evening we're going to bring to you live our youth ministry from our Bible Baptist Believers Church in Imperial Beach. His name is Jose Alba, or as young people call him, and we call him JP. JP, you in there tonight?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're there? Hey, man, you sound good on the radio, JP. JP's going to bring you a lesson tonight that he's going to teach to his youth group, and they'll be live, and so I hope you'll bear with them. And if should the phone tone out or call in, stay with us. Stay with us. It's okay. And we'll see what JP does this evening. I want to thank you again for tuning in. We want to thank those from around the world. I mean, we've received a lot of emails and a lot of reviews and a lot of information from around the country and also around the world, from South Korea and even South America and some European and in England. And we've got feedback, and we're certainly pleased to have you aboard tonight. Let's have a prayer, and I'm going to turn this over to this young man so that he can broadcast his program. And I'm away today. That's why JP's going to host this program tonight. I'm traveling. I'm up Northern California tonight. And bear with us because, you know, this program is live. There's nothing pre-programmed here. There's nothing pre-set. We take it as the Lord gives it to us, and I hope you receive a blessing. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bow down our heads, Lord, and just as humbly as we can, we thank you, God, for this time that you've given us to minister, for this time that you've given us, Lord, to touch people's hearts for Jesus Christ. God, we want to lift up your Son's name tonight. Lord, we want to just praise you, and we want to bring glory to you. Help JP tonight, Lord. Bless him and help him to teach the people something, Lord, that will help them in their Christian walk to have a closer walk with Jesus. And I thank you, Holy Father. Empower this young man. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother JP?
Thank you, Brother Peter.
All right, my brother.
We're praying for you over here. We hope you get home safely, Peter.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hate traveling sometimes, but this is one of those times where I just had to travel. So I'm with my wife, Marilyn, and we're up in the Fresno area with the military order of the Cooties, which is the honor degree of the VFW. And we've come up to meet and greet and be a part of this military convention. And so we're grateful to be here. We thank God that he opens these doors for us. We get to witness up here, too, sometimes. And we praise God for that. Well, JP, I'm going to turn this over to you. You have a good evening. And I'll be talking to you later. The Lord bless you.
You too, Peter. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so tonight I'm going to teach on monies and possessions. And if you've heard this lesson before, that's okay. It's always nice to hear the lesson again. Maybe you missed something and you didn't get something the first time you heard it. So we're going to look at it again. And I'm going to teach to my youth group tonight. And our youth group usually starts at around 6:30, but that's okay. So tonight we're going to talk about Lesson 15, Money and Possessions. So, and the question for tonight is, what should be my attitude toward money and possessions? So, let's talk about that. One of the greatest temptations we face as Christians in America is the tremendous affluence in our culture. We are geared to think that success is measured by the abundance of our material wealth, when in reality, a man's success is measured by fulfilling God's plan for his life, as we have seen in previous lessons. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about our attitudes towards physical possessions. The object of this lesson is to determine how God would have us deal with this matter in light of biblical principles. Now, my first point I have is, you do not have to be poor to please God. Now, this is very important to understand. Spiritually, it is not measured by the abundance of or lack of material goods. Nowhere in the Bible does God specifically condemn anyone for having money. Instead, he deals with attitudes. It's quality, not quantity, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And admittedly, godly Bible characters were wealthy. Solomon was the wealthiest man in history, yet observe his conclusion of it, of all matters. In I'm going to read you this verse. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now Job was the wealthiest man of his day. Yet, when all his wealth was gone, observe his attitude. Can you go with me to Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22? That's Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. And scripture says, then Job arose and went his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And even the Lord Jesus Christ was accompanied by a group of wealthy women who provided for him materially. Now in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Oh, can you go with me there, please? And that's, again, chapter Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. That's Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And now in John chapter 12, verse 3, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And my second point is, at what point does money interfere with my relationship with God, Now first, when you trust in it rather than trusting in God. Can you go with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 27. That's Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 27. And the scripture says, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter unto the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen. Now, can you go with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 28? That's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 28. Now it says, and riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now, When your affections are set on your earthly possessions instead of your heavenly possessions. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can you go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4? That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the scripture says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, when you think your own spirituality, another man's spirituality, or God's blessings can be measured by material possessions, can you go with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 15? That's the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. And the scripture says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, if you're just joining us, I'm going to give you a little refresher. And my second point is, at one point, does money interfere with my relationship to God? And that is, when your objective in life becomes earning as much money as possible, you revolve around money. Everything you want is money. And that's not what we want, people. We want to revolve around God, not money. Now, can you help me to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. And Proverbs says, labor not to be rich, seize from thine own wisdom. Amen? Now, another scripture I have is, it says this, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them, and what good is there to the owners thereof, saying the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Now, again, back to our question. Our point is, at what point does money interfere with my relationship to God? And another thing is, when you think you can provide for your own needs instead of God providing for them. And that people, Christians get mixed up with that a lot. And the answer to that is you just need to pray. Pastor Peter, he had a lesson yesterday, and he was talking about a guy that he knew, and he prayed for $1 million, and God eventually gave him $1 million to get a building. But if God doesn't think that you need it, and that's not the right ministry that you need to set up, then he's not going to give it to you. Amen? And now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen? Can you go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 10 through 18? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. And scripture says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee powers to get wealthy, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Now my third point that I have is, what are the proper attitudes you should develop toward physical possessions? Now, first and foremost, you need to be content with what you have. Understand, to be content is not grudgingly resign yourself to accept your state, but to rest satisfied in God's provision, realizing whatever you have been given is a blessing. Everything that God has given you is a blessing. You have a roof over your head. Your mom cooks you meals. You have things that people don't have. So you need to be content with your possessions. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen? Now in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." And every prayer, I thank the Lord for the blessings that he's given me. Lord, I always like to, I can't express how much I appreciate everything he's done for me and my parents and him. It's just amazing. And I hope every Christian does, as we should. You are to be content in whatever state you find yourself, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, out of jail. And that verse says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now next, you need to realize that there are many things which are far more important than money, things money cannot buy. There's a saying that money cannot buy happiness. Well, these are some things that money cannot buy. And the first thing that money cannot buy is wisdom. Can you go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 16? The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 16. And the scripture says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? And another thing money can't buy is a righteous life. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6, and chapter 16, verse 8, it said, better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways. Though he be rich, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And in Psalm chapter 37, verse 16, it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And another thing that money can't buy is a good night's sleep. And there's a scripture to go with that, and it says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. And that seems to be tonight's lesson, but I'm not sure where. I thought I had more of a lesson, but I guess not. So now what we usually do in the youth group, or what I plan to do, is we usually have a discussion, and if anybody has any questions, they could call in, or if you're with me tonight in my youth group, you can ask me a question, and I'll do my best to answer it. And if not, I'll go to my pastor and I'll ask him, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Now, tonight we talked about money and possessions, and it's so true in the world that we get so wrapped up in money. It's just a simple piece of paper, but we take it so seriously and we strive for it. But that's not the case. We need to strive for God. We need to revolve around Him. You need to go to church every Sunday, and you need to go to a Bible study if you have one. And get this through your head, it's not just about money. I know money is fun to have, and it's a necessity if you need clothes and food and the things in life, but so many Christians and humans, we just sometimes forget, and it's a good feeling to have money. And I have money problems with myself. I like money. I'm not going to lie to you. I like money. But we get wrapped up and we forget about God sometimes. And we need not. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. And I pray to God that He'll forgive me of my sins. And hopefully I can get back on track. But anyways, how can I word this? We just need, it's not about the money, okay? That's what I want to get through your head. It's not about how rich you are. It's not about what kind of fancy clothes you have. It's not about, you know, I got this, I got that. It's about, you know, I got God. I got Jesus in my life, okay? I don't need all the fancy stuff, okay? Because I know that if I pray and I know that, I need it, God will provide. God will provide. God does so many great things in our lives, doesn't He? And it's amazing what God can do. And that's my lesson tonight. And I know it's short, but, you know, I lost the other half of the lesson. I'm sorry. But, you know, if anybody wants to call, I'm free to answer any questions. I know some people might be, wow, is this kid really talking to me about money? He doesn't even pay bills yet. But, you know, I'm an open book. I'm an open book. So if there's any callers, you can call in. Or if, Peter, you're listening out there and you want to call in, you can come in and get on the conversation.
Peter, are you inviting you to call in if you want to call in and get in the conversation?
So, yeah. Somebody there?
somebody is there.
Okay. All right. Anyways, well, while we wait for someone or if Peter's going to call in, I'm gonna say that I just want to thank God for the opportunity that he's giving me to, you know, teach to this youth group every week. And I know I don't have any a lot of members right now, but I'm working on it. And I just want to thank Peter for giving me the opportunity to, you know, plan this out. And I made flyers, and it's a really good feeling to teach about the Lord. And every once in a while, I get to come on this show and I get to teach you people that are listening around the world, and that's a good feeling to me, to know that I'm giving someone the message. So, yeah, we're just starting out, but it's fun. We have refreshments after, and that's always good. Yeah. So I encourage you, if you're not saved tonight,
Hello?
You can get saved.
Hello?
Hello, someone there?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Brother Ventura, Dr. Ventura. How are you?
Hey, Peter, were you listening?
I was listening.
Yeah, I grabbed the lesson to come up here. Apparently, the whole lesson wasn't there. It was on the counter in the kitchen. But, you know,
right.
Talked about, you know, how the world just revolves around money and how we should be revolving around God, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think the lesson that you taught was fine. That's a good lesson, that we shouldn't put our faith in our possessions. And, you know, Jesus says it's hard for a rich man. How hardly does a rich man get into heaven? Because he's putting his faith in his wealth, things that the materialistic things that he has. But, you know, the old saying is you've never seen a hearse go down the street with a U-Haul behind it. Amen?
Amen.
So the truth is that, you know, we're in a materialistic society and people want to have more of everything. I bet that if most people went into their clothes closets today, they would find enough of clothes to clothe a family. You know, the stuff that they'll never wear, they probably won't wear, they used to wear, that doesn't fit them. It's just stuff. And we as Americans, we just accumulate stuff, lots of stuff.
Yeah. We want.
But that's human nature. You know, that's why they call the news, because we want to hear something new all the time. I got to hear something new. So it's the news. You know, we're never satisfied. That's the problem with human beings, are not satisfied. There's always more want. You quoted the scripture from Proverbs that says, you know, it didn't matter how much silver a man had, he's still going to want more. That's why if you study history, you'll find that communism, the equal distribution in such as a country as Russia, it didn't work. And the reason why it doesn't work is because somebody forgot human nature. Somebody's always going to want more. And so the government ended up with more and the people ended up with less, right? Amen, brother.
Amen, Peter.
And
so I agree with you 100%.
You know, and what you teach the youth group and what we learn about, you know, it's okay to pray. The problem is people say, well, I don't pray and ask for things for myself. Well, you should pray and ask for things for yourself. When you were a child and you wanted things, you would go to your father and you would say, Daddy, I need this, or Daddy, I need that. Or Mom, I need that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with going to your Heavenly Father and saying you need something. He'll provide
for you. Very true, Peter, very true.
You know, he'll provide what you need. Not always our want. Sometimes God gives you what you want, but as long as it's not going to injure you. Now, if I lose you, I'll connect right back.
Oh, okay. That's fine, Peter. That's fine. Yeah, and in the lesson, many of the Bible characters were wealthy, and like Solomon and Job were wealthy. And yet, when Job's wealth was all gone, his attitude was really changed.
Ready.
Right. Okay. You're right, brother. I, I think that people misunderstand the use of money in the church. You know, the a lot of people say, well, you know, they're so materialistic.
Yeah, I think it's temptation most of all. We get influenced to buy things. We see all the commercials on TV, all the ads that we see when we're on the internet. It's just everywhere. We can't get away from it. It's all the temptation that America has that we just can't help with buying things, especially things that we want, things that we don't need. You there, Peter? I think we lost him. Oh, that's okay. Anyways, I'm going to continue. But, yeah, I think it's mostly temptation. And, you know, many people just get tempted.
He got dropped again. Oh, he's coming back in now. Yeah, he got dropped.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
I'm
going to
let
him
back in. I'm going to let him back in right now.
Thank you for letting me back in. I was got tuned out.
Sure.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I was saying, you know, the biggest thing is the temptation we face in America. All the commercials that we see and the ads that we have and the billboards, and they're all around us, and we can't escape them sometimes, and we can't help but buying things that we don't need.
That's true. It is true. Maybe if we spend less time in front of the idiot tube, you know, it's the glass toilet is what that thing is. And it's about selling us products and things and just influencing our lives in ways that we really don't need to be influenced.
Yeah, and really we're built to think that success is, it's measured by the our material wealth, our possessions, and our riches. But in reality, our success is measured by fulfilling God's plan for His life. You know, and it's not really how much you have. It's more fulfilling God's needs and His plan for you in life, and being a Christian and going to church and being godly is what I'm trying to say. Is what most.
Amen. And I get that. How old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
14.
14. Imagine that. You have more common sense and more spiritual sense than most of the Christian adults in the world today. You know, amen. The Lord said, out of the mouth of babes and suckers, thou hast ordained wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
What you're saying is absolutely true. It's absolutely true that we in a materialistic society, but we need to have the focus on the Lord. And the purpose of having money is to advance the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you give to your church, you tithe to your church, or you give to your church, your offerings and tithes, well, that's for the work of the ministry. And you know what? There's somewhere down the line, some people got the idea that church is a boring place. And I don't know what kind of church they're going to, but we have a lot of excitement at our church. We have a lot of spiritual excitement. We have a lot of wisdom going on. We have a lot of joy. There's laughter. I mean, we have fellowship. And so, this idea that, well, if I go to church, I'm going to be bored to death. You're not living for Christ. If you go live for Christ, you know, if you're living to see what the people next to you have and how much they're donating and all that nonsense and get caught up comparing yourselves to others, more materialism, you own better clothes and, you know, all that nonsense, then you know what? They miss the point. And so life is not measured by how many. Jesus is not going to ask you. God the Father is not going to ask. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, He's not going to say, hey, how many Cadillacs did you own? What nationality are you? you know, there's only two nationalities in heaven, saved and unsaved.
I agree.
Amen.
I agree. Amen, amen.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about the purpose of our money. I was speaking the other night, and I was able to tell a congregation that in the Old Testament, they donated the money. There was a box, and they put the money into the box, and it was for the repair and the support of the priests and the repairs of the church, of the synagogue, of the building. And so when you tithe your money, the first part that you keep to God is holy. And if the first part is holy, then the lump becomes holy. And so then now the money in your pocket is not just money your boss gave you. It's holy money. Amen?
Amen, Peter.
Amen.
So what are you doing with holy money? What are you purchasing? What are you buying? You bought a garden hose with the money that God's provided for you. You gave him a tenth or whatever you give out of your paycheck. And the rest of that money's holy now, and you bought a garden hose. How do you treat God's garden hose? It's a holy hose. It's blessed of God. You leave it out in the yard and let it freeze in the winter and crack. And you know, what are you doing with God's money?
Amen.
And so, yes, you're right, JP. This is a materialistic world. And young people today, there are a lot of materialistic people. I have the privilege of watching your mother, Angelica, and your father, Scott. They're hardworking people. And I see the prudence in how they, you know, appreciate the things they have in life. It's not necessary to have, the finest things in life. Although it doesn't mean that they can't enjoy them, you know, that's honey. If God gives you honey in your life, then praise the Lord. But not everybody has honey in their life.
Amen. Amen.
And it doesn't mean that you're less holy or less blessed because you don't have as much as the person next to you. I mean, God wants you to live an abundant life. But, you know, as you were saying, God may give you $1 million to a man who can use $1 million and not harm himself with it. But if you're praying for money and God knows you and you're asking for money, an abundance of money, and well, maybe God just say, you know, saying, hey, if I give this person what they're praying for, it'll destroy them.
Yep.
Jesus said, you know, what person asks his father for a gift, you know, and he gives him a viper, a snake. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, God's all knowing. If God answers prayers in three ways: yes, no, and wait. And what the problem we have is, we tend not to wait. We want it now because we're in that materialistic world: instant popcorn, instant TV dinner, instant soup, instant coffee, instant channels, instant news. And so everything's instant, and we want instant. And so we want everything in our life. So we pray to God and we say, God, give me instant.
Yeah, I think that also leads into that. As humans, we're impatient. We can't wait for things. We need it now.
Right. But if you look around, most people don't even thank God for the things they already have. Like you thank God for the roof over your head and your family, your parents.
Every meal that we have, we always pray.
Amen. And that's, God honors that. God honors a family that prays together, a family that will read their Bibles together, a family that goes to church together. There's a certain blessing that comes with the congregation of the church. And God's not going to leave you hungry.
Yep. Amen,
so,
Peter. Amen.
So we take all that for granted.
We do. I agree with you, Peter.
You know, we get up in the morning and think that roof's supposed to be there. 95% of the Christians in the world are pretty much in the Middle East and in Africa. And you know what? Most of them don't even have a roof over their head. And some of them do, and some of them are sleeping 8 people in one room in a little tin shanty or a wooden shanty.
and they don't know where their next meal's going to come from. All they know is they're trusting God.
Yep.
And they pray and they ask God to provide for us, and God provides for them.
Amen, Peter.
And we're spoiled.
We are spoiled.
We're supposed to have, you know. Somebody said if you were born in America, you hit the gene pool. Amen?
Hmm.
I mean, look at the rest of the world. Our city, the city of Imperial Beach, its budget is almost as large as some of the nations in the world's budget. Think about that. Other nations don't have, Medi-Cal and, assistance from the government. You fend for yourself every day and hope that you're going to live and not die. And you're not going to get caught in the violence of the moment. Many of these countries are just violent. You know, it's all about, well, whatever country you see where there's a lot of violence, usually there's not a lot of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, we are a materialistic society. We can get off of that as a society. People see homeless people sitting on the side of the road that are truly homeless. I'm not talking about a scam artist who's out there with a sign looking to buy a bottle of beer or out there making money so he doesn't have to go to work. I'm talking about truly homeless, a lot of homeless veterans in the San Diego area. And you know what? There's a lot of people in this country that have clothes in their closets that they're never, ever going to wear, and that would probably fit some of these people, and they would be grateful to have a new shirt or a pair of socks.
Yep.
Kathy Garzon runs a sober living home, several of them now, in the Imperial Beach, San Diego area. And, you know, she goes out, and they take care of the needs of some of the homeless, and they put a little lunch together. They put a sandwich and a pair of socks and a soup. And those guys, you know, they appreciate those socks.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
My point is that what happens is we start thinking we're too good to be around those kind of people.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't want to shame ourselves that we're standing next talking to somebody who isn't like us, who doesn't have money, who's living out of a garbage can.
Yep.
And we don't do it. And so for that reason, we don't minister. And we're poor examples and poor testimonies to Jesus Christ. I met a young fellow that Brother Raymond won to Jesus Christ in front of a McDonald's one night. And it was the funniest thing you'd ever seen. The guy, Ray was telling him about Jesus. I had witnessed to him numerous times before. But Ray was telling him about Jesus, and he said, I'm an animal. The guy started screaming, I'm an animal, I can't say it, I'm an animal. And so Ray started screaming back at him, I'm an animal too, but Jesus saved me. You know? And
yeah,
so,
amen.
So the guy got saved. And then a few weeks later, I saw that guy walking around, and I said, come here. He was walking funny, and he had an old pair, dirty old pair of sneakers on, and I said, hey, come here, let me. What's wrong with your feet? And he said, well, you know, this is all I have. And my feet are bothering me. They hurt. And he said, I got some blisters. And I said, let sit in my car here. Put your feet out here. And he put his feet out there, and I took off his shoes. And I said, take your socks off. And he pulled off his socks. He had, type of Converse sneakers, low cuts, canvas. And I looked at his feet, and they were all blistered and raw. And torn up and fungusy. And I said, man, I said, you're going to lose these feet. Don't you understand that? And he said, well, what can I do? I have another pair of socks, and I don't have any money. And so I said, look, I happen to have a bottle of nitrogen peroxide. I like to keep a first aid kit bar. And I said, well at least let me clean these for you. So you're going to lose these feet. And he said, all right, Peter. I said, man, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt bad, but I got to do this. And so he said, go ahead. go ahead, brother. So I poured that peroxide on it, and that stuff foamed up, burned his feet. And I, you know, I reached in my pocket, and I said, look, here's some money. I want you to go right across the street here. I want you to buy some new socks and white socks so don't have dye come out of them and damage your feet. The man would have lost his feet. And thank God that, you know, God gave me the presence not to be ashamed to help somebody clean their feet.
Yeah.
What kind of Christians are we in this world? We're so materialistic. Everybody's, we got to be better than everybody. It's not so. Our reward's not in this world. Our reward's in the future.
And again, going back to the lesson, one verse I looked over was John chapter 12, verse 3. And it said, then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard. Very costly. Huh?
Hello?
Yeah? Peter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Was there a caller?
Oh, that was me. I'm sorry. I'm going to mute out right now, Brother Peter.
Is that Nathan?
It was Nathan. That was Nathan. I was waiting to say something. Go ahead. I'll call you. I'll jump in a few minutes. I got a phone.
Oh, I see. I heard some music, and I thought that the angels were singing. Go ahead, JP. What was your verse, please?
No, I said, going back to our lesson in John chapter 12, verse 3, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Kind of just, you know, relating to what you, the story you just said.
Oh, amen.
By the way, Peter, my mom's, the phone I'm using, it's the battery's low, so if I get cut off, I want to say beforehand that I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll close out for you if you do get cut off. We have only half about 10 minutes anyway. But the verse you're talking about, there's Mary. And, you know, the great thing about that passage, and it's good that you should simulate that in your mind and make that connection spiritually, JP. That shows spiritual wisdom, and it also shows spiritual maturity. And so here's Mary comes along, and she breaks this box of spikenard. And it's really spikenard, and it's a very expensive ointment. It's not cheap. And it was used for special occasions and funerals and things. And so Mary goes in there and she breaks the box on the feet of the Lord and uses her hair to wipe his feet down. It's the Lord's. And if you read the passage, well, Judas Iscariot is the troublemaker. He says, well, why are we wasting this stuff? This stuff could have been sold. You see? And so the lesson there is that there's always going to be people. He's the instigator. Then the other disciples jump in and say, yeah, you know, how come we're doing this? You know, the Lord says, leave her alone. She's doing it, preparing, you know, my burial. And she's anointing, cleaning my feet. And so Jesus went to some of their houses. He said even Simon's. He went to Simon's house and they didn't even offer to wash his feet. The custom of the day was to wash a person's feet. And so there's always going to be opposition within the Christian circles that you're in your church to some of the things that you're going to do for the Lord if the Lord has called you to do. If you're sure the Lord has called you to do it, you need to do it. Amen?
Yep. Amen.
What would I care if, and I mean, we don't have an ordinance of foot washing church. You know, I've seen pastors come out with a bowl and say, come here, I want the first, you know, come up here. I'd like to wash your feet and call people out of the audience. He did it not because it's an ordinance of the church. The only two ordinances of the church is baptism and the Lord's Supper. But he did it to show humility. Humility. And go ahead. We'll take that caller.
Yeah, Peter, this is Joe down in North Carolina. I got a question for you. I've been listening to you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is I know it's off topic and off cue, but my problem with what you're saying and what you're doing is basically you and I have come across a disagreement in the past few days, and it's been bothering me. And I feel, I don't know if we can address it all tonight, but this 501c3 status that you've claimed for your church, I really think it needs to be addressed. And I'm not trying to disrupt your show or take you off topic, but it's just something I wanted the listeners to address maybe in the future. And I feel the 501c3 church, you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve two fathers. And when you sign up for the 501c3 status for your church, you're really committing idolatry. And, you know, I just think it's something that we should address in the future.
I think that we had that discussion one time. We did a whole program on 501c's. And, some of us and some of the callers agree with your position, and some say that, you know, we should give the Caesar what's Caesar's. You know, nobody wants to go to prison for income tax evasion. And so we have to legitimize ourselves to the point where, as long as we're not going against the Word of God, you know, if they told us tomorrow we couldn't pray, well, you know, we'd be in the woods. I mean, there's other countries they told that they can't have churches if they are in the woods. And so,
okay,
that's
what 501c3 is, Peter. You're being right now they're not enforcing it. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but they're not enforcing it right now. But in the law, it states you cannot talk against the government. You have to support abortion. You have to support many.
No,
I don't have the list,
no,
the paperwork in front of me.
I don't have to support abortion, and I don't
according
have to support
to them,
homosexuality, and I'm allowed to stand by the bylaws of my church, which are against those things, okay? But I'm not to run a political campaign out of my church. It's for a religious purpose, not a political purpose. Now, by the way, they just did an exemption, and you can ask for an exemption for your 501c to endorse a candidate. So that's the newest thing. So some things have changed, some things haven't. And I don't want to get off topic because it was a young man's night. It's his youth group. He's sitting with a whole youth group there with him.
Well, that's what I said. I didn't want to be disrespectful. That's why I said that. I just wanted to buzz in because I was listening tonight, and I just wanted to put that in your ear because I think it should be addressed in the future. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we can do that, Joe. You and I can go back and take some time and take a look at that and talk about it again in the future. I thought we covered it pretty thoroughly, but we can do that. And I look
forward
to that. I want to, for those who don't know, Joe's going to have an addition to his family. And I would ask my listeners, our listeners, and Laura's listeners here to keep Joe and his wife, and he has a son, and keep them in your prayers. That God will continue to bless them and help them. Not only financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, because these are hard times to raise children, to train up children in the world. And so if we keep Joseph and his family in prayer, we appreciate that. And his grandmother, you know, she's been a contributor to the program, and his uncle in Wisconsin, and Chris, and some other people that, you know, have taken time. And, you know, we'll get back on, and I'm sure they'll join us on that 501c3. Right now, I'm up in Fresno.
Well,
so
I agree. Well, thank you for saying that, Peter. I don't want to take any more time from you, but thank you for saying that. And, you know, until we do address that, you know, you and I have come into an impasse on that. And and like you said, my grandmother, my uncle, and I have a lot of supporters who listen to the show, and I want to bring them in on a future show on that. I just feel that we should address
sure.
that. But go ahead. I don't want to disrespect
right.
you.
All right, brother. Well, you have a good night. God bless you. And I'll contact you on that. We'll get that running. Maybe
right,
in a
good.
Week or two. All right?
All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you for showing an interest. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye,
Brother
Joe.
JP.
Oh, okay. So, overall, tonight we talked about money and possessions, and we talked about what should my attitude be as a Christian toward money and possessions. And we had a good discussion, and after the lesson I discussed. And it's so good to just open up and talk, and we had Brother Peter come out and he'd call, and we had a good time. I had a good time talking, you know, just sharing my thoughts, and Peter was sharing his thoughts, and overall, I had a good time, and I appreciate the time that Peter lets me do this and the times that I get to do this. So I just want to thank Peter, and Peter, you have anything to say?
No, I'm grateful that the Lord has blessed me with such a pleasant young man who's mature enough to come on, and I can call and say, listen, I need you to handle the radio broadcast, and I have some adults that are, you know, have told me, well, I can't handle the radio broadcast because I'm not even prepared. Well, you know, you should always be prepared to talk about the Lord. And you know, I've heard pastors say, is there any praise reports in the church? And nobody even stood up and said, I had anything to praise God for. And one lady used to stand up, Sister Gail would stand up in the back and say, well, I want to praise God and thank for my salvation. Amen. He saved me. So, you know, everybody's got something to praise. But I appreciate the wisdom that God's given you. I think materialism and the lesson that you brought forth is very, very good. And I want to thank you for being there for me and for the church and for the youth group. And I know that you're just starting out in the youth group. We have a very small church, and God's not interested in how many people are there. God's interest is, are the people that are with you getting taught the Word of God? That's what God wants to know. And if you're faithful with small things, God said, He'll give you bigger things. So stay faithful in the small things in life. Don't despise the small things. And God's going to bless you, JP, and you're going to grow. And you have an
influence.
Thank
you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate that.
Okay, I'm going to let you pray us out. And
all right.
I'll see you. I'll be home. I'll try and get home Sunday, I'm not sure, but we're going to try.
All right.
I know.
All right.
So go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Pray
us. Lastly, I want to thank the listeners for listening. Thank my youth group for listening, and hopefully I get to do this again. And so let's pray. Dear Lord.
Hey, hold on one second, JP. I think you had a caller in there. Was there a caller, Nathan?
Yes, this is Nathan. I'd just like to thank JP for a wonderful job and encourage him to keep going forward. It's a blessing to see a 14-year young man with so much wisdom already. So, he blessed me
tonight.
Thank
you, Nathan. I appreciate that, Nathan.
Good
job, I
want to
thank putting us on the radio in the first place, giving us, as a church, giving Peter and the woman and giving me an opportunity to come and teach about the Lord every week. And so I just want to thank
you. Amen. Glad to have you here and look forward for the next youth night. It's not how long you do it. It's just that you do it.
That's right, Nathan. That's right.
Amen, amen.
All right, so I'll pray out, and we'll be dismissed. So,
all right, please pray for Barbara, Sister Barbara, and Jean. Barbara's going to have open heart surgery.
Okay.
On Monday.
All right. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for the lesson you've given me tonight, Lord. Thank you for the blessings that you've given me tonight, Lord. Thank you. Just for everything, Lord. Please bless the people that are sick, Lord. Barbara, Lord. Help her, Lord. I just want to thank everybody, Lord. I want to thank you especially, Lord. I want to pray that Peter gets home safely, Lord. And I want to thank you again, especially. I don't know how much I could say it, Lord, but thank you for the blessings, Lord. Thank you for making me realize that it's not about how much money we have, Lord. It's about the blessings that you give us and us fulfilling your plan for us, Lord. And again, we thank you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening, Peter. And I'll call you later if I get the chance. I'm pretty sure this phone's about to die. We've been on here for about an hour. So I want to thank the listeners for listening, and we'll tune in next week. Thank you. This
Amen.
Is JP Alba, and thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And we hope to hear from you. Tune in next week. Sound Doctrine Broadcast. Thank you, Nathan.
Good job, Nathan. Thanks for putting me through. I appreciate
thank
it.
Y'all.
Thank you, brother.
Thank y'all. Thank
you.
Y'all.
Amen.
I'll be in contact. I'll be in contact with you, Nathan. Thank you.
Okay, then. I appreciate that.
All right. All right, we're all still alive. God bless you.
All good. All good.